Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Charles Burton, senior fellow at Synopsis, who aims to attend the gathering at the U.S. Embassy in Ottawa within these next hours to congratulate everybody for another successful 4th of July. However, we're looking at the adversary in East Asia, and right in front of us now is reason to wonder where next, because I've been told for some time Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party have no plan B to revive the very troubled Chinese economy. And the headline is China to hold third plenum this month. Will it focus on reforms or Xi Jinping's long-term vision? Charles, a very good evening to you. That seems like an obvious choice. Reforms, is that credible? Good evening to you.
No, I don't think there'll be any reforms. I mean, Wen Biaobao, the previous premier of the State Council, had characterized the Chinese economy as unbalanced, uncoordinated, unsustainable, and unstable. And Mr. Xi has actually quoted the first three, but he didn't leave the unstable in. But really, we're looking at a revision of the 2013 third plenum, where there was an idea to try and revitalize the economy to move towards Mr. Xi's program of the community of the common destiny of mankind. The promises to bring more market forces into play in 2013 were not fulfilled, and now it's even less likely that we'll see any effective economic measures taken to stem the current decline in the Chinese economy. Because Mr. Xi puts the priority on security over economic growth and the maintenance of the position of the Chinese Communist Party, and doesn't want any economic activity to develop alternative demands for devolution of political power. And we've seen this, you know, since 2013, the suppression of the successful capitalists like Jack Ma and the man that ran ByteDance, and a consolidation of the inefficient state sector, and a general dampening of economic activity because people in non-Xi factions are worried about being hit with corruption and other charges if they engage in any initiatives to engender economic growth. So I'm really not seeing the economy not continue its decline. It looks like Mr. Xi simply wants to do Leninism better, and that never works.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, virtually everybody outside China believes that China's only sustainable basis is to move to a consumption-based economy, just like most other economies outside China are. Inside China, Xi Jinping is very much against empowering consumers. So essentially what we're looking at is a slow erosion or maybe even a fast erosion of Chinese economic performance because they're not willing to deal with the structural issues. So where does all of this go? Where does the Chinese economy go if it can't do what's necessary to put itself on a sustainable basis?
Well, I think, the answer is down, and particularly if this third plenum doesn't fulfill any promise of giving hope that the government will, in fact, as you say, engage in measures to enhance trade and investment and particularly consumption. So if the third plenum suggests that there's simply going to be more of the same and it's going to be, you know, stopgap measures such as let's develop new quality productive forces, or let's move towards common prosperity, or let's eliminate internal barriers, then the lack of faith in the economy will continue to decline, and one will continue to see outflow of capital and a general economic disruption, because people just aren't confident that the Chinese economy is going to recover from its current decline. And one could see the real estate sector also suffering as a result of lack of confidence that Mr. Xi has any measures that will effectively address it. I mean, previous third plenums, like the very famous one in 1978, where they decided to do openness and reform and engage in trade with foreign countries and bring in market forces, required political adjustments. And Mr. Xi's plan about politics is to crack down further, which then has economic consequences. On the upside, it really does call into question his overall plans for global domination that can only work if the Chinese economy can sustain the kind of economic and military resources to bring that about. But that being said, as we've discussed before in this program, if China lapses into chaos, that can't be good either, and could actually lead to a worse result than an ineffective, self-delusional leadership on the part of the strongman, Mr. Xi.
Charles, are the tariffs a way of correcting Xi's exaggerations? I noted this morning it's not just EVs. The EU is considering tariffs on two websites that sell a lot of toys, Temu and Shine. I don't know them, but they've been chastised for shipping toys that are dangerous and have apologized and trying to pull them off the market. But in the meantime, they're going to be restricted in the EU. Does that? It's not about weapons. It's not about NVIDIA. It's about simple matter of cheap toys, and that's going to further limit the ability of China to recover. They can't even ship toys that are trustworthy. Does that tell the Chinese Communist Party to change direction?
Well, it should tell them to change direction, but as Gordon points out, you know, the change in direction would require stimulated consumption. The current model seems to be dumping Chinese commodities on Western markets at below market prices, some of them, you know, capable of facilitating espionage, like the electric vehicles or telecommunications or other high tech. But a lot of it just products which are being sold here to try and stimulate the Chinese economy through an export-led strategy designed to outcompete everybody else on price because of Chinese government subsidies on production. And it seems that the United States and the West and Europe have figured this out and are not going to allow this scheme to go forward, which puts a considerable spanner in the works of Mr. Xi's overall economic strategy. So it's the toys, it's the EVs, but it's really everything that we'll be putting tariffs on, because we have evidence that those things are, on the one hand, a national security threat, and on the other hand, are being dumped at below cost, and that devastates our own markets.
Gordon, you have a question.
Charles, China's two biggest markets, the U.S. and the EU, are starting to, as you point out, resist Chinese imports. But we're also starting to see that in the Global South. And it seems to me that is, the Global South is the only outlet for increased Chinese exports. And even there, they are starting to put tariff walls against Chinese goods. That means that Xi Jinping really has no way out of his economic crisis.
I think you're absolutely right. And one has seen reports. I think Zambia was one country that's imposed. No, it was the Congo, I think, imposed 100% tariffs on Chinese imports. So, I mean, if that's a trend, then, as you say, Xi is out of markets to try and sell Chinese overproduction to, or to promote the Belt and Road Initiative. So it does look very serious for him. And, you know, this plenum, there are low expectations, but even if those very low expectations are shattered by an overrun of rhetoric and ideology, and no sense that Xi Jinping actually has a plan to try and get the economy back on the rails, then I think we'll see a rapid deterioration in the months after this plenum. And the fact that the plenum was so delayed, you know, traditionally third plenums take place in December, we're now in July, and there's been no explanation as to why the plenum was delayed by so many months, but I think it's because they really have no ideas and don't know what to do.
Charles, the question here immediately comes up, and it's a quick one. a distraction from the troubles at the third plenum. Foreign policy, is that possible? Do they play that game?
You mean in terms of
confrontation, provocation, something like that, something that turns into a nationalist rallying cry around Xi?
That's definitely the other option, isn't it? You know, if the economy's in the dumps, then try and rally the people through some adventurous foreign policy ploy. And the obvious one would be a not well thought out assault on Taiwan, or taking one of the islands of currently under control of the Taiwan government, which are close to the Fujian coast. One could see some disastrous action like that would naturally stimulate the rest of us to take much more serious action against Chinese expansionism in the Taiwan Straits and South China Sea. And I think if we have a general perception in the world that China is now weak and declining, that it will encourage the right-minded forces who want to restore the norms of the U.S.-led international rules-based order to be emboldened to try and really take effective action against China and put investment into defensive measures that will allow us to bring China back into agreeing to international norms and not attempting to claim territory that is clearly not China's in the area roundabout.
Charles Burton of the Senior Fellow Synopsis, Gordon Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.